Hello, welcome to The Big Fight. Now, this has not been the best of weeks for Indian education, that CBSE cheating scandal, and then, of course, a whole bunch of other rows that are taking place in universities. What's happening with university funding? Should there be privatization? Should there not be privatization? But over all of that, this big question that's come, is there something fundamentally wrong with higher education in India and the way it is being run and the way it's been administered? The CBSE cheating scandal, for example, couldn't it have been prevented if whistleblowers were letting the people know about this a couple of days in advance? Shouldn't something have been done about it? And that's the reason we've got a range of education experts joining us to talk to us about what seems to be the rot in higher education in India. And by the way, this is the one area in which there should not be any rot, because education, anyone will tell you, perhaps the most important thing a country should worry about. So there is a problem there. We should all be worrying about it. Great set of panels joining us to discuss, to take us through what is happening. Mohandas Pai, Chairman, Manipal Global Education Services, is joining us from Bangalore. Suhail Seth, Managing Partner, Consulate, who's notably on Twitter right now been saying that the CBSE chairperson should be arrested, among other comments. Really worked up about what's been happening. Great to have you with us. Here in our studio, we have Vandana Chawla, Principal, New Era Public School at Mayapuri. Great to have you with us. Dr. Harvansh Chaturvedi, who's Director of the Birla Institute of Management Technology, but also who wrote a book a couple of years back about transforming Indian higher education. Obviously, the advice has not been particularly heeded, I suspect, in these couple of years. We have Aditya Narayan Mishra, former President of DUTA, and we have Mridula Mukherjee, Professor of Modern History at the Center for Historical Studies at JNU. Well, thank you all for being with us, but above all, we have a really huge panel of young people, most of whom are in college, some are in school as well. Before I come to any of the experts, let me come to you. How many of you believe that higher education in India right now is in a mess?
Wow.
That's actually rather scary, because all of you raised your hands. Okay, how many of you are in class 10 or class 12? How many of you are in school? Wow, what are you doing here instead of studying for your exams? Are you in the class 10 board exams that just went, the infamous maths paper?
I came back from school and I got to know that the paper had been leaked and we have to sit for a re-examination.
How did that paper go of yours?
It was really good. It was easy.
Oops. And that's the worst thing, right? If it had been a bad paper and you'd done badly, you'd have said, okay, I don't mind a retest. But if you did well, then now it means you'll have to sit and study all over again.
15 chapters. And it was not even our fault, CBSE's fault. It's their job to protect the papers, right? Our fault? So why should we suffer again?
Had you heard rumors that the paper's been leaked before the exam?
Yes.
Your friends and others had told you it had been leaked?
Yes.
Now what's going to happen? Are you sitting and studying again, or are you sort of struggling to think about what to do?
Sitting and studying. No other option.
Yeah, no other option. How about you? When did you find out?
Sir, I was really disappointed when I got to know the paper was leaked and we have to give re-exam. So,
how did you like the paper which you actually did?
Sir, it was really easy.
Really easy?
Yes, sir.
So, okay. Down.
Scoring paper.
So, that's really the problem, right? When it's a really easy paper and you think you've done well and now you're having to sit and study all over again. So, our thoughts are with you and we're going to try and figure out what to do now. Suhail, among others, has been rather prominently saying, Suhail, that you think it's shocking what's happened. I mean, you just heard from these two young kids. They did a really good paper, and for no fault of theirs, as she said, they're going to have to sit and study and do it again.
You know, what is appalling, Vikram, is that year after year, there are allegations of cheating. Nothing seems to happen. We have converted the Ministry of HRD under successive regimes into historians. They keep rewriting history to suit their immediate political ideology or perspective. The students are cattle and they are being completely annihilated by organizations such as the CBSE and the ICSE. What is even sad is that the government
should point out to you that annihilating cattle is not something which you can really do in the country right now. You might want to choose your words again. Even talking about annihilating cattle, annihilating kids may be one thing, but annihilating cattle?
Yeah, but now that's my point. My point is we have become so fastidious about trivia whereas the real issues are missing. Today our education is not about learning, it's about rote, it's by rote, it's management by rote. You cannot have a situation like this which continues. Why has the CBSE chief not been either sacked or arrested? This is under her watch. If
how
you don't
you
fix accountability,
Sohail,
you make 2.1 million
Sohail, what
children
basis are you
completely
going to be arresting
victimized.
Her for? Aren't you going over,
for what purpose?
Little over the top? I mean, arresting her, what basis are you going to arrest her for?
For criminal negligence. If you tell me that whistleblowers had informed the CBSE and if the CBSE had taken no action, then she needs to be arrested for criminal negligence and criminal conspiracy. What do you want her to be? Do you want to put her on an elephant and parade on Republic Day parade next year?
No, maybe there's something in between the two, right? So Mohandas Pai, Sohail, we heard these two.
There is
young
no
kids.
Thing in between. You see, this whole thing about in between worries me in this country.
So either you have to arrest her or you have to parade her on an elephant at Republic Day. There's nothing in between the two.
You're suggesting that we don't do anything.
No, I'm not saying that.
And
I'm saying that
no one is doing anything.
Okay, fine. We got your point loud and clear. Mohandas Pai.
And look, I have no children. I mean, I have no children, so I have no stake in the system. I'm saying it as a person who observes what is happening to the state of education in our country, whereas at one time we had a glorious education system, which we have completely messed up over the years, for whatever reasons.
Okay, Mohandas Pai, let me get you in.
You know,
I come
children
to
go through hell while getting admission. They go through hell through examination. I mean, what kind of an education system are we creating?
Okay, Mohandas Pai, let me throw that to you. We are creating a mess as an education system, says Sohail, also saying that something needs to be done to the CBSE chairperson right away.
Vikram, let me say this. We are in a mess. We have 864 universities, 51,000 colleges, 35 million young people in college, and this 35 million will go up to about 70 million in the next 12 years by 2030. So we're going to have the largest number of kids in college by 2030. Now, maybe 20-25% of the educational institutions are reasonable quality. The rest are really bad. 65% of young people are getting educated in college by the private sector, and the state is only 35%. I think the center is only 5%. And we are across a huge country of 1.3 billion people, and we need to get our act together. And the best way to get our act together is to make sure that the top 200 universities get full autonomy, financial, academic, and administrative. And by giving them full autonomy, they can be held accountable. But it also means that people who come from the reserved category, people who come from poor circumstances, get scholarships for admission so that they can get a good education. Nobody is deprived of the right to education because of means. That we should ensure as a country. And then we must make sure the rest of the universities come up to a certain bare standard. If they don't, they're shut down and the students are distributed across all universities. So we must have very clear means. And today, the good, the bad, the ugly are put into the same bucket. They're all judged the same. There is no incentive for the good to do well. There is no punishment for the bad, and everybody is across. And you see this mess. As far as CBSE is concerned, it is gross mismanagement. They did not have a process in place to assure the integrity. They did not have a crisis management team. They did not have a team which could respond. And I think the CBSE chairman should go on leave, step aside till the inquiry is done. And I also think that they must use big data to find out where the leakage happened, look at the data of students in the class exam, and if they find a sudden upsurge in the results must be set aside. They must be asked to do a re-exam. It could be maybe
well,
1 or 2%
of students. Everyone's going to have to do. I mean,
everybody should not do. Everybody should not do. For example, in the South, we have not heard of the case of the mass of the papers being released. Like the two students said, they have not heard of. They heard about it. They have not got it. They done well. Why should they do the re-exam? Let the re-exam be for those people for whom there's certain upsurge or in those areas.
But they could have studied really hard in the last 2 months. That could be patently unfair because what have you done? Studied really hard the last 10, 20 days, 1 month.
Vikram, the papers have not been leaked all across the country, Vikram. They're not been leaked all across the country. Look at the data and find out where it has been leaked, where is the evidence, and you know, just make sure in those areas you step down and do it. You can't cancel the entire exam for 20 lakhs children. 20 lakh children should not be made to suffer. You can use big data, try it out. If you find it has been leaked all across and everywhere else, you have a case. Right now, there's no case.
Okay, Vandana Chawla. Any of those, I'm going to come to the broader issues around education, but let's just finish with this entire immediate cheating scandal and what should be done with it. His suggestion that you look at patterns and try and analyze who may have actually got the paper, Well, is that a better way to do it, or you have no choice but to cancel now?
I think there's no choice but to cancel it, because here I'd like to add that I don't understand why CBSE is keeping such a studied silence on it, you know, because the leakage news started way before the economics paper, whether it's the accounts paper or it was the biology paper in class 12, I'm talking about that. There were rumors. There were people who said they had received WhatsApp images of certain questions, handwritten papers. And the next day...
Can I just interrupt? You're talking about papers other than the two which
That's
have already...
Right.
So you're saying there is a question mark about other papers?
You see, again, it is for the CBSE to investigate and find out whether there is some substance in that or not. But if there is some substance, has anybody checked that out?
I don't know. But as a principal, you are saying you had heard about the rumors before the papers.
Yes.
And not just in these two papers, in other papers as well.
Yes. As a matter of fact, for this particular paper, I'm talking about...
But did she, as the principal, report it to the authorities?
Yes, we did. And I'm not the only one. This is the information that we did send out to CBSE.
So, but Vikram, again, I stand firm to what I said.
May I?
No, Sorry. So let her just finish what she's saying, yeah. Then I'll come back
if
to you.
If the CBSE knew of this, why is this woman still in charge?
Okay. Well, you know, for the economics paper, for example, we have a system where the teachers go to the center because our students, for example, don't appear in our school. They go to another school. So the teachers go to meet them and et cetera in the morning. They came back. And I said, obviously, you haven't seen the paper yet. We'll see it in our center. They said, but, you know, the children were all of them, in fact, had copies of the paper. And then one of my teachers said that, ma'am, I have a WhatsApp group of economics teachers.
Can you
teachers.
Believe it?
Economics teachers WhatsApp group. I had seen these questions yesterday. Now, the economics exam was on a Monday. And she had seen all these questions on her group on Sunday evening.
So it's okay. It's obviously it's not a small isolated incident then.
It's a pattern that has been recurring.
So by the way, the open question that comes is, we've heard about these two papers from which there is conclusive evidence, but if this is happening, could the rot be more widespread than we are seeing? Because that's something I'm sure all kids are worrying about. We've known about these two. Is something else going to come out?
Vikram, I think that right now more than 2 million children who have appeared in plus two examination, they need some solution so that they are not under constant stress, and any knee-jerk reaction will not solve the problem. There is a systematic failure, and whatever has been said my colleague and a fellow panelist, I think there must be a thorough probe about all these issues. And the current system of printing papers and sending across the country, this system is not foolproof, but there can be better system. And these systems are being experimented in higher education, in entrance examination of BITS Pilani or many other private universities.
Well, around the world it happens.
Can I say something?
Yeah.
You know, let's not just throw the baby out with the bathwater, as they say, and just condemn CBSE. It keeps trying different things. Yesterday we were all called in. Principals were called in by CBSE into their schools. And there was a experimental procedure that took place where they sent us passwords and URLs, etc., to see whether we could download, as I said, it was a mock drill, whether we could download the papers.
Right? It's
yes.
Obvious, I was just about to say, it's the obvious thing to do instead of sending papers or printing, which is 19th century, well, if not 19th century, certainly 20th century technology. It should be the simplest thing in the world to have all the papers. I'm just sort of cooking this up as I'm going along, but what's wrong with it?
No,
you have all the papers that suddenly get opened up on the day of the examination, and schools can print it out. You just got a printer and you print
this
it out. I don't know, but then you'll have an issue. What if the school couldn't
This has been
print
experimented.
Yeah, what if you don't have
Anna
electricity?
University?
What if you don't have internet?
Anna University for engineering examination.
Well, so, yeah, but the other issue, what if your internet is not working or your printer is not working, it happens somewhere. So, there are possible solutions and we have to think about
them.
So there are many possible solutions. And see, this type of examination leak in a partial manner has happened in the past also. But this is no solution to say that all these leaks that has taken place, this has happened in a very massive scale. What she is saying, that every other student was knowing that there is a leak. What must have transpired in their minds? before when they were preparing for the examination. Most of the students, see, this is a basic breach of trust in the examination system. And see, why this is happening? In this system, why this is happening? When somebody becomes a vice chancellor or somebody becomes a dean, now there is a group from the dispensation who think they have become, and they start interfering into the system. And so they take the system for a ride. Let me tell you, they take the system for a ride. And because of this, this is happening in the large scale.
Okay, Madana Mukherjee, politics, he says, plays a major role, but are you also Are you been encountering a lot of numbers? For example, people who join colleges on the basis of a certain set of marks, do you sometimes say to this person, I'm surprised that they got the mark and has left you wondering about whether the exam was entirely fair? I mean, how widespread is this problem of cheating?
I think we all know it's very widespread. We all have seen even those images a couple of years back of an exam center in Bihar where there were people hanging on to the windows and trying to throw things in. I mean, the extent...
But places like Bihar sometimes get a bad rap for that. And this is, of course,
and this is happening right here. No, I just use that image to remind everyone that the extent of the rot where openly people were, you know, clamoring... Here, there's not even a question of
what happened.
See,
but Bihar is transparent when it comes to cheating.
I agree.
They cheat openly.
Okay, I'm not sure that's really the transparency we want, but...
In Delhi, they hide and cheat.
I think that everybody has said, that this, of course, needs to be condemned, the systems need to be improved and all that. So I don't want to repeat that, but I want to bring in another element which bears on this whole thing.
Yeah.
Why are these students so anxious? You know, they
are
anxious because they don't know whether they'll be able to get admission in the course that they want. There are not enough seats going around. You have 95%, 98%, whatever. You know, so the problem begins there. We would not be so cutthroat. We would not be paying bribes to get our kid the stolen paper, if we weren't, as a society, being pushed into a situation where we are, the teachers, the students, the parents are all on tenterhooks because you don't know whether your kid will get admission or not.
I think that's an interesting point. It's an interesting point and certainly a debatable point. And I'm going to throw that to everyone, including the audience out here. Mohandas Pai, let me throw that to you. Let me throw that question to you because you were just now talking about the scarcity of seats that there are in higher education, right, here in India. Some people may say, oh, let's try and go abroad. It's even more cutthroat. It's tougher to get through. And it costs an absolute
fortune. And how many can go abroad?
How many people can afford to do that? Is it that pressure? Now, frankly, you could say nothing should justify or condone cheating, whether you're a student or a parent or a teacher or the captain of the Australian cricket team, for that matter. Nothing should condone cheating, you know, in any form or manner. But having said that, is this the reason why there is so much pressure? Is this the reason why people think they can make a buck by leaking the paper? Because there will be so much pressure. Those marks are so important.
Yes, Vikram. For example, about 1.5 crore students pass from Standard 10 every year across the country. And possibly about 1 crore students pass from Standard 12. And in the IITs, you've got some 12,000 seats. And everybody wants to be in IIT. NIT, you've got 25,000 seats. The good engineering colleges have got 2 lakh seats. There are just not enough good colleges in the country because capacity has not gone up in the good colleges for whatever reason. So everybody wants to go to the good college. Every parent has got that ambition. So we've got to make sure the good colleges expand in a very dramatic manner.
Vikram.
And we should not have anything to say that you expand and the quality doesn't come down. The quality will not come down. That's all a bogus theory. The IITs can go up to maybe 100,000 young kids because there's enough capacity. They're all bright people. We should not be afraid of scale. I think we should have enough good. That's why we need, in most universities, autonomy for the top 200 universities, massive expansion. China has 1,000 universities with 30 to 35,000 students in each university, which is residential. They build up good capacity. If 50% of our universities are of decent quality, then this will come down. We need very good quality educational institutions. And I have a last request, Vikram. Let us not abuse India. Delhi is not India. Bihar is not India. I have not seen this kind of mass copying in Karnataka, Tamil Nadu, Kerala, or Andhra Pradesh. We have not seen that. Even in the CBSE, I have not seen across Bangalore people saying the paper are leaked. Karnataka, Tamil Nadu papers are leaked. Let's identify the places. Delhi may be a place where it has been leaked because it's the heart of the political establishment, heart of the coaching mandi that basically exists across India. Let us, India is a large country. Let us not say everybody copies, everybody does. Please don't do that. Delhi is not India, please. You're all in Delhi. Delhi is not India, please.
All right, it's an interesting point. Look at the areas where cheating happens. So, Suhail Seth, let me get you in on that point. The fact that there is so much pressure to get marks, is that in any way, it's not a condonation of cheating, is it an explanation for cheating, or should we simply say, look, it's wrong? If Imran Das Pai says kids in Bangalore are not cheating or kids in Kerala are not cheating, then that's it. I mean, they are under as much pressure to get high marks or try and get into the universities as kids in Bihar are or Delhi are or anywhere else is.
So I don't want to disparage any particular city, but I think the problem in certain urban metropolises other than the ones in the south, because I don't want to anger Mohandas Pai either, is that even college admissions are a badge of honor. You know, people, there's peer pressure amongst parents for which schools their wards are going to be admitted to. It's the same peer pressure for college admissions. So you have that as a problem. Number two, I want to know how on earth you can get 100 on 100 in English unless you were born from Shakespeare and Byron and Keats's DNA. Number three, when you create the kind of poor infrastructure for colleges and then the government interferes by saying, we will not give you autonomy, these jokers are more worried about battles within campuses rather than worried about creating more campuses.
Get the priority.
So the problem
is,
Suhail says they're more worried about what's happening inside the campuses than making sure that instead of one JNU there are 500.
We are worried about
there are
both.
1,000 IITs.
You don't multiply campuses by destroying the ones you have. Sorry.
Okay, it's an interesting point. Ma'am, do you hear this a lot
Correct.
From parents and
my
from
advice,
teachers?
My advice, Vikram, would be, get an educationist. Get an educationist to head the HRD ministry permanently. Because a politician will see education as a tool. The politician will see education as a tool of propagating politics and not welfare. Of propagating ideology and not knowledge. Of propagating a particular perspective rather than being neutral. Having said that, parents also have to be blamed, as do the children, who believe that by cheating, they may get through to college, but they won't get ahead in life. That's the real issue. So parenting also needs to undergo a drastic change.
I think that's a very valid point. Ma'am, are you okay? Look.
You know, you never taught your children to cheat.
I didn't. You're right. I didn't. Thank you. I'm so glad you're acknowledging that.
And see how well they've done?
Yeah. They manage. The manager's fine. So, ma'am, this is something which I think needs to be looked. Look, yes, there is pressure. Yes, there is the need to get marks. Yes, or but are there enough people who are saying, but it's still not right to cheat? Because what are you teaching? I think Suhail very rightly
right
said, what are you teaching the kids? The kids may
Absolutely.
End up in Delhi University or XYZ or IIT or Harvard or Stanford or wherever, but if they've got there by cheating, they're eventually going to fail in life.
Absolutely. So I think that it's very, very essential that we teach our children integrity more than anything else. It doesn't matter, even the paper, if it's lying in front of you, it doesn't matter.
Yes.
If you've studied, there is no reason. These two young people over here said they did very well. I mean, mathematics is something you cannot learn by heart. Although you said...
By the way, how on earth do you leak a math? I'm really curious. How do you leak a maths paper? What's the point of the whole exercise I'm trying to figure out? Like,
so,
what, are you going to remember the final answer? You're going to memorize it? If you're that sharp that you can memorize the entire answer to a maths paper, you should probably be maxing it anyway.
I wasn't very good at mathematics in school, but I can tell you one thing. I was thinking about the answers that they would give you when you said, why aren't you home studying? I was expecting one of them to say that I have prepared very well for my maths paper and I did very well. If it comes again tomorrow or day after or a week later, maths is not something that you can forget. I mean, you know, maths is something that you learn by practice and continuous effort.
Let me see, that's consolation to the two of them. You don't have to work that hard because maths you probably know. You feel that or you still feel you have to revise it?
We have to practice.
You have to practice it all over again.
Yes.
Perfect
practice
makes perfect.
Okay. Can I just ask you, the point that was being made in these particular exams from your other friends or from other schools, Have you heard about the possibility that other papers have leaked as well? Were people talking about it? WhatsApp groups, Facebook groups?
Not others, only I think maths leaked.
And you did hear about the maths leaking before the paper?
Yes.
And you had people coming to you and saying that they had seen that paper?
Yeah.
Okay, I don't want to throw it open to the rest of the audience right now, and I'm going to keep coming to the audience with this because, after all, something which affects all of you. In general, all of you are in college over the last 3, 4, 5, 6 years. Have you been meeting and encountering and coming across lots of case studies of people who have been telling you, yes, there was cheating, yes, this paper leaked, yes, it did not leak? How many of you have experienced it? Okay, not that many. I'm trying to see how widespread the problem is.
I think, you know, the issue is getting trivialized here. There are two things which are being conflated. One, cheating, where the onus is on the examinee or the students, and the other is a paper leak, which is clearly a systemic failure. Yeah. By conflating the two, we are actually allowing exoneration of the authorities who are responsible for this very serious act of, you know, paper leak which has happened. And this paper leak is part of a series. SSC exam papers have been leaked, now CBSE. Earlier, we have seen other things getting leaked. And in Delhi University, we remember some years ago, papers have been leaked of the SOL. Nothing, no punitive action had been taken against the guilty. So there is a conscious attempt to discredit public-funded education so that they get discredited. You then sell it off. You don't give it funds so that private shops would prosper. And this is a, you know, very time-tested model which has been done for the last 20-odd years to make sure education remains inaccessible to the maximum number
point.
Of students.
Wow. That's a really interesting theory, and it's such an interesting theory. I want to come back to all of you on that. So hang on. If we all heard what he had to say, essentially, you're almost not giving education the public support that it needs because it'll all eventually be privatized, and that brings us to the privatization debate.
Is that what's happening? Yes. Wait, I want to
come to you in a couple of minutes on that. Yeah.
See, number one, you cannot localize the issue of copying and this cheating. I do not wish to tell in detail. I have all the details that from a particular school in a particular place that is being said that there is no copying. They entered into the best institution of this university and not one or two, 30 of them.
Yeah, yeah.
30 of them.
We've all heard it.
See, so let us not say that we are clean or they are dirt. So this is, I think, wherever this happened, this is a systematic failure. And let me tell you, we all have to, I totally agree. There is an all-out attempt to discredit the government-funded institutions. And the attempt is to malign it to an extent that tomorrow there will be no takers for that. Okay. The Ministry of HRD is making only policy hoax statements. Let me tell you, sir, no two universities of the world teach the same syllabus. Here, they have made it mandatory to teach 450 all government-funded institutions are teaching a particular syllabus. And they have left the private universities to teach their own syllabus that will be created.
Okay.
So, as a result, what has happened? Our economics honors, English honors, and many of our flagship courses where we are teaching very good things, 21 papers we have been used to teach them, it has been reduced to 14 papers and 16 papers, and these courses have got diluted.
Okay.
So this is being done in a very systematic manner. Okay. This graded autonomy business is also in this whole sequence of things. Universities were autonomous from the day one they have been created. Where is the need to create, give more autonomy to the already autonomous?
Okay, let me ask Mohandas Pai that question because he believes in it very strongly.
Yes.
Mohandas Pai, systematic effort to degrade, you know, publicly funded institutions. Yeah.
Vikram, I don't believe in this conspiracy theories, Vikram. The central government has only 3 to 5% of universities funded by them. States have about 30%. Balance is private. It's been there for the last 15, 20 years. That is what is going to be for the next 10, 15 years. We need 8 lakh crore to educate all the people who are going to come into colleges. And to think that the conspiracy to degrade public institutions is a big joke. There is no conspiracy. Public or private, there are good colleges, good universities, bad universities. The bad public, the bad private. The good public, the good private. The good ones will prosper. It is graded autonomy.
But give us the equal playing field.
Let us evolve our own syllabus. We were teaching mathematics and economics honors. We were teaching statistics and mathematics in commerce. We have been deprived of. They have pushed a syllabus on all of us. We have lost our right to frame the syllabus.
Let Mohandas 5 minutes.
In the new norm, 69 universities have got full autonomy. And if you read that, you find that they have the right to set their own courses, start new courses, start everything else. That is not privatization. That is not commercialization. That is giving them the full freedom.
Model.
And there will be no...
Sir, let me tell you,
self-financing model.
In graded autonomy business, they have asked to frame the syllabus, to sell it in the market, generate and take the money from
that
the students.
That is total nonsense.
Sir.
Total nonsense. Let us not
sir,
talk
kindly go through the documents. Before saying so, kindly go through the documents. Let us go through the document of the graded autonomy.
Let us go through the document.
It clearly
I'm
states
about the new policy.
And appoint foreign faculty up to
20%. I'm talking about the new policy. One at a time.
Let me get you in.
I abhor.
There are very strong views in this, obviously.
I abhor extreme views being expressed by two panelists. I think that autonomy and privatization are two different things. Autonomy
yes.
is seriously required in Indian higher education because mm-hmm. centralizing and giving powers to regulatory bodies to decide everything is the main factor for the sloppy growth of Indian higher education. Whatever suffering we are
Very
facing
right.
in both private and public sector,
yes.
it is because of the rigid regulatory regimes in our country enforced by UGC, AICTE, Medical Council, and there is no scope for innovation. I think autonomy is required both for private universities and public universities. And autonomy means
Vikram.
That the academicians of Delhi University or JNU, they should decide how the university is to be managed.
Sir,
yes. I'm going to get everyone in one at a time, please. Mridula Mukherjee, then Suhail, then Mohandas Pai, then I'm going to come back to you.
The trouble is that when this word autonomy is used and the recent policy announcement, in that announcement, it doesn't tell you where the money is going to come from. Let me tell you, there are models in Europe where the funding agency gives so much autonomy to the university that the funding agency cannot have any representation on that university. That is autonomy, but they give full funding. Public university, full funding by government, but total autonomy. What are we talking about here? We are saying autonomy means I won't give you your full money. I'm telling you, I'll give you in some cases, like for 7th pay commission, they've already told Delhi University will give you only 70% of the money. 30% you have to raise from where? Where does university raise money from? By raising the fees of all these children.
That is a model that's followed in most parts of the world. You raise money from students, but you give scholarship to those who need it.
Let me just finish. Just give me 1 minute. See, we are talking also of scales. They don't have 30% people under the poverty line. Mm-hmm. They don't have 5% of their population only in college. You know, the middle class that we talk about here very often glorify this middle class. Most of them are just about lower middle class or on the edge of poverty. So we are talking of different scales. When we say will we give scholarships to 95% of the children? Can we raise from 5% and give to 95%? No. Listen, even the most liberal of models has education, health, and certain other sectors where the state has to fund. And in a country like ours, I think to talk about models where the burden goes on to funding raised through fees from children, then you are going to have what you have in, I don't want to name the universities, 7 lakh rupees, 8 lakh rupees a year, tuition fees, any of these kids, they can pay that money. Just ask them. To even 50,000 or 1 lakh to pay is very difficult for most parents.
Okay. And how many girls would be in that situation will be in the universities of higher education?
In this graded autonomy business,
I want 15 seconds only. Yeah.
It's very clearly laid down that any new program you want to start, you have to raise the money. It also says UGC will no longer be the operative body. Higher education funding agency will give loans to universities, which universities will have to pay back. From where are we going to pay back loans unless we get the students to pay us high fees?
So I think, sir, look, let me just try and sum this up. And I'm going to come back to Mohandas Pai and Suhail on this. Look, here's the issue. we have a crisis, with the crisis which is happening in schools and the pressure on CBSE and all that. Cheating is wrong anyway, but some of the pressure is coming because at the college level there are so few seats, and you've got to expand that. If you're relying on people to be getting the money to have more universities and tally through fees, there's a problem with that. So therefore, is it required? So Sohail Seth, let me ask you this, and I'm going to throw it to Mohandas Pai. Is the solution to all of this, therefore, that the state has to just say, look, education is a national priority. We don't have a choice. Yeah. We'll have to find the money. We'll have to raise the money, put proper people in charge, and spend a ton of money in making sure that all Indians get higher, proper education, because that's the way we'll rise to our position as a nation. Is that what has to be done, Sohail Seth?
I think this is the basic issue on which the whole debate should be focused.
They always, now who's this gentleman interrupting me?
Government will not do anything.
Okay, can I let Sohail, Sohail, carry on.
I have three or four limited points to make, and I've heard each one of the panelists, all eminent. Number one, the not-for-profit system in higher education is hypocritical, to say the least. People are still making money from schools through trust, siphoning of money, blah, blah, blah. Number two, there is no rocket science here. Across the world, there are private universities which charge exorbitant fees, but they also keep quotas within their colleges for huge scholarships. Take Harvard, for instance. Its endowment is well invested. Its corpus is well invested.
But so very
we don't have that in India.
Which have the money in India. There are not that many private institutions
no question
which can do that. There are not that many private institutions in India which can do that or have the seats available. Or from, as Mridulaji was saying, that
but
from raising
that is
money
my
from
point. Why are you not allowing corporate India, why are you not allowing corporate India to set up schools? Why are you not allowing corporate India to invest in schools?
Or colleges.
The people are more worried about toilets, which by the way they should be. But we have created a hawa about Swachh Bharat, but we haven't created any hawa about such a Swachh Dimag or Swachh Education.
So, Mohandas Pai, okay, to end your point,
it's bizarre. We have our priorities completely wrong in this country. And my last point, taking off from what Mridula said, and Mridula made a very important point about autonomy. A lot of people confuse autonomy with lack of accountability.
Yes.
Autonomy doesn't mean you are not accountable. Autonomy and accountability must go hand in hand. So let's stop creating this entire plethora of problems. You know, the beauty about our country is we have a problem for every solution. We never have solutions for problems.
All right. Mohandas Pai, at the end of the day,
Vikram,
is this, Mohandas Pai, is this a problem that is going to be, can the private sector sort out the problem of higher education?
No.
Or at the end of the day, should we say, this is something that requires the government to say, we got to fix it, we got to find the money, we are raising enough money in taxes and other stuff, get our priorities right, spend the money in education. Raise education spending to 7-8% of the GDP, whatever has to be done, and make sure that the people of the country are educated.
Vikram, government, both center and state, have to spend public resources on education of our children, and make sure that every child who needs education in school or higher education gets it without having reference to means. If they don't have means, the state has to give a scholarship, the state has to provide for it, and there cannot be a compromise. Let's be very clear. Point number one. Point number two, the state should not walk off. Let's be very clear. Point number two, education can be provided by any service provider, whether government or the private sector, and we should not discriminate and say only government is good and private sector is bad, because the majority of our children are educated by the private sector for colleges in this country, and the majority of children are now going to the private sector because the government schools have gone down in quality because of bad management. And point number three, we must make sure that people who can afford to pay should pay. It's not that everybody cannot afford to pay. People who can afford to pay, people who are in the reserved category, the SC, ST, the BC, should get government scholarship. People who are below the poverty line should get government balance sheet, and the balance should pay, because it costs money. In JNU, it costs about 4 lakhs to educate one person per year. It is not free. They may pay only 1,000 rupees or 2,000 rupees as fees, but it costs 4 lakhs. The rest of us are paying for it, and many of them are going and agitating and saying, Bharat ko tukda karo, and all that nonsense, because, you know, we are paying for it. They must pay for it. They do PhD over 10 years, and why should you pay for that? Yeah. We should make sure there's accountability. Yeah. But every child should get education. Lastly, right. Lastly, 24% of our youngsters go to college, not 5%, madam. Please see the data, 24% today. We are much better off than earlier.
Okay, but ma'am, can I just throw this question to you? Yeah. While all of that is fine, if you look at the example of countries which are supposed to have a better education system, I mean, take the US, for example, Sohail was referring to Harvard and places like that a short while back. Even in the US and other places, you have both. Somebody wants to pay, can pay a large sum of money and go to the universities you were mentioning. But they're very good public sector universities also, absolutely, where you can go to state universities, as they are
community
called.
Community colleges.
Yeah, yeah. Community colleges. So everyone gets a chance to go there.
Yeah.
You need to create that supply. Otherwise, this sort of a pressure, this absolute hawa which is sitting on everyone's heads, you know, all through the months of March, we have to get those marks, otherwise how are we going to go to college? That will be sorted out with more supply. So, I mean, there's a moral issue with... So
what are you wanting me to
comment? State or private or both?
It has to be both, you know, because just on my way here, I was reading about the Finnish system of education, which is supposed to be the best in the world as far as school education is concerned. So the fact of the matter is that it is able to produce such fantastic results in students because it creates the infrastructure for the teachers to be the best in the world. I mean, a teacher who, a person who wants to be a teacher in Finland has to put in 7 years of a research-based master's, you know, to actually be...
But of course, you know, Finland is a model we can never aspire to. Finland,
why shouldn't we aspire to that?
People.
Why shouldn't
but
we
let's
aspire
start
to
by
that?
Aspiring to be at least... You know, China, then USA, then others. Finland, I get the Finland model, but to be, I mean, here, I guess in most colleges, we'll be glad if the teacher, forget about 7 years on research, we'll be glad if the teacher shows up and says, hello, here I am, do you have any questions
for me? See, as I can talk only from the point of view of schools, and I can tell you very clearly, when you're talking of autonomy, the government or whatever it is, the powers that be have taken away almost all autonomy that we had in private schools. I'm from a private school.
Yeah, you now, can't even give admissions without having to follow a set of rules.
Oh, absolutely. We cannot give admissions to anybody. We cannot raise our fees. You said that they said pay seventh pay commission salaries, but we will give you only 70%. Well, a school like ours, which is a private school, how do we fund ourselves? To give seventh pay commission salaries, we have to increase our fees. And for the past 3 years, we have not been allowed. Not just we. Across the board, any school.
So it's clearly a mess, and I don't think we're getting the answers in this one show. So I'm going to turn to the young people out here to see if any of them have answers.
Yeah. Sir, I really want to raise a lot of questions for everyone here. Everyone here laughed about Bihar when we talked about the case of cheating in Bihar, people climbing up. Do you even know about the education system of Bihar? Right. No, the school system is in ruins. Yeah. No one comes up, no teacher comes up, there is no accountability, there is no school buildings. So when we are talking about cheating in Bihar, the onus should entirely be on the administration, the government, to set up enough schools to ensure that teachers teach to have buildings. We cannot say that cheating is a morally incorrect, because here we are not questioning anyone's moral. Those kids have the pressure to have jobs, to go to colleges and jobs. And what are we seeing when they go to colleges and jobs? That there is a 99% cutoff. And why is there a 99% cutoff? Because of lack of school, because of lack of colleges and universities. And now, to address that, we have Mr. Pai and, of course, our government saying here that we should make autonomous. But autonomy for what? What does autonomy mean? Autonomy does not mean academic autonomy. Because we have seen in CBCS, in FYUP, what the government did was set a specific syllabus and teachers had to teach according to that. There was no autonomy in academics. Please let me make my point. Another thing which autonomy stands for is...
I want to get somebody else to make a point also.
Just 30 more seconds. To initiate self-financing courses, make the fees. We have an example just of yesterday. There was a news in Uttarakhand. A university raised its fees from 6 lakhs to 23 lakhs a year.
Yes.
Right. So one after the one, government is dismantling the public education and making space for the corporates. And what are the corporates in India doing? People like Nirav Modi and Vijay Mallya are taking the citizens' money. And he's talking about this tukre gang in JNU. What the students in JNU are fighting for is to preserve a university which gives the highest possible quality education at low cost. At a cost of 500 rupees a semester. So we should aspire to be JNU to give highest quality public education at a very low cost. So we need public funded education. We shouldn't compare India with the developed countries of Finland and America.
Please, we have to give somebody else a chance.
Sure. But we are underdeveloped nations and we have to educate our masses which are poor.
I'm flat out of time on the show, so I'm going to get 5 5-second answers from all of you or comments on this. Last quick comments from all of you, and let me come to you, Sohail, first, and then I'm going to come to everyone else. The lady here just said, you know, if you can't provide the services, you can't provide the infrastructure, you can't provide the teaching, you don't have enough colleges which people can get to, don't act all moralistic about the fact that somebody's ending up cheating. Is that the way to look at it, or should you say, we don't care, cheating is still wrong, it's morally wrong, it doesn't matter, you should still
I think it's the most communist kind of flawed logic. It's almost suggestive that if on the streets you don't have police, please go ahead and kill someone. I mean, I think it's bizarre.
Okay, fine.
There are two things that this lady has said which are worthy of merit, which are worthy. Number one, that autonomy needs to be defined, and number two, that we don't need to paint or tar all colleges with the same brush. But the reality, Vikram, is we are in a crisis situation.
Okay, fair enough.
And no one has a solution for the crisis. We live from crisis to crisis.
That's true about many things.
Today we are talking about education in the context of cheating. How ironic is that?
Okay, fine. Mohan Das Pai, last, I'm really out of overtime on the show, so last very quick words from you, Mohan Das Pai.
Vikram, we need reforms. We need more funding into education, public and private. We need to make sure that no Indian child is deprived of education because of means. We need better educational institutions. We need full autonomy for the better ones. We need the private and public sector to come together to offer capacity. And I don't believe that you should cheat even if the government does not work. Cheating is an inherent moral issue for every person, and you should never cheat. And I don't think we should be against the private sector, like commercialization, privatization, all that is nonsense. And I don't think people in the communist schools to push such stuff into the minds of our children who come and mouth, oh, privatization, commercialization is all total nonsense. We should say good institution, bad institution, punish the bad, reward the good.
All right. Thank you so much, Sohail. Mohan Das Pai. Last quick words from you, Madhula, ma'am.
I suspect
you are one of the communist institutions he's talking
You know, we
about.
Are notorious for being communist, anti-national, but the president of India gave us the award for the best university in the country.
The president of India
is entitled to make one mistake.
Being run on the basis of the Gujarat model. The Gujarat State Higher Education Council even decides what topics under which you are going to make research. This is so diminishing in the field of education that you cannot decide the field of research prior hand. And 83 topics have been decided. Now they are talking about modern, make in India, made in India. All this is a farce. Why I'm saying this? The MPhil and PhD increments have been withdrawn. And the years that one will serve, the one will work for the MPhil and PhD, he will get no benefit. And they are making, by 2020, every student, every teacher who wants to be a teacher has to have PhD. This is so ironical. They are talking about e-learning and digital India. The budget was 518 crores. They have reduced it to 456 crores. This is the policy hoax of this government.
Okay, we get the sense of it. Yeah. So, last quick question.
I would say that since 1992, it is not yesterday that the state or the government of India is withdrawing from its responsibility to provide quality education to each and every young man of India. Since 1992, state is abdicating from its responsibility. Right now, we are spending only 1.24% of GNP on higher education. And Kothari Commission said we need at least 6% on education.
Okay. Spend
so unless and until
educating not just the young man but also the young woman of India.
So both, I would like to say that both public and private sector institutions are needed.
Okay.
You cannot simply say that government will provide university for everybody. If government is not in position, then of course you will have to invite industrialists and private sector institutions.
Enough. Last quick word from you, ma'am.
Okay. Cheating is just wrong. Okay.
Yeah.
And I do feel that the CBSE is responsible morally as well as every which way for the lapse that has taken place. And they need to address their systems because this is a systemic failure that has taken place.
So as you saw from the gist of this, there's obviously lots that has to be discussed about the education system and about how we fix the education system. And I suspect we'll be back here debating this again and again and again. Time and again till the problem is actually fixed. But yes, I do want to draw from what ma'am just said, that yes, it is a problem. We know what the issues are. Education is not working well. Very short number of colleges, seats. But she's right. You shouldn't be leaking papers. You shouldn't be cheating, no matter what the provocation is. And that applies whether you're a student or you're a member of the Australian cricket team, Australian cricket captain, anybody. Just don't cheat. It's a very bad idea. That's a big fight this week. We'll be back next week. Bye for now.
Thank you.